Good morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Today we have stories about who a new Bozeman-Helena health agreement affects, where water from the Berkeley Pit is being discharged, and why a nonprofit organization near Bozeman is being investigated. It's Tuesday, October 1st. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. Montana State University Billings announced yesterday its total enrollment is up, but the count of full-time students is down. Kayla DeRoche reports.
MSUB saw a 2.3% boost in total enrollment this year, largely due to part-time students. The difference between this current semester and fall 2018 is about 100 people. Vice Chancellor Kim Hayworth says students from about 11 different high schools are responsible for a chunk of that number.
The one that contributed the most would be our dual enrollment really increased. We're just so pleased that we have these partner high schools that are interested in offering our classes, and then other students that are interested in taking online or face-to-face dual enrollment classes.
MSUB reports a fall 2019 enrollment count of 4,416 students at the university campus and City College. According to a press release, MSUB saw a 0.9% drop in full-time students and a 1.7% increase in part-time students. MSUB also reports a 22.5% increase of Black students, an 18.6% increase of Native American students, an 8.5% increase in graduate students, and an 18.4% increase in transfer students. Chancellor Dan Elliman has said he hopes to reach an enrollment of 6,000 students in the next 5 years. Kayla DeRoche, Yellowstone Public Radio News.
MSU Billings owns the licenses of the radio stations Yellowstone Public Radio operates. A man suffered severe burns after falling into thermal water near the cone of Old Faithful Geyser in Yellowstone National Park Sunday. During an investigation yesterday morning, rangers found Cade Edmund Seesmer's shoe, hat, and a beer can, footprints going to and from the geyser, and blood on the boardwalk. Results from the ongoing investigation will be forwarded to the United States Attorney's Office for prosecutorial review. A park press release says Seesmers told rangers he had gone for a walk off the boardwalk without a flashlight and tripped into a hot spring. He was able to return to his room and call for help. He was taken by ambulance to West Yellowstone Airport and flown to Idaho Falls. The area around Old Faithful is always closed to the public. Yellowstone National Park reports this is the first serious injury in a thermal area in 2 years. A man suffered severe burns after falling into a hot spring in the lower geyser basin in 2017. The year prior, a man died after leaving the boardwalk and slipping into a hot spring in Norris Geyser Basin. Hospitals in southwest Montana say Helena patients with high-risk pregnancies will soon have access to a new Women's and Children's Health Center care team from Bozeman. Montana Public Radio's Corin Cates Carney reports.
Babies that get sick or born premature in Helena will have a closer option for care under the agreement announced Monday between Bozeman Health and St. Peter's Health. Mark Williams is Chief Physician Officer in Bozeman.
One of our overall strategies is to actually leverage a shortage of providers.
Specialized care in Montana is at times hard to come by. Helena doesn't have a neonatal intensive care unit, but Bozeman Health is building one. The NICU is part of a new women's and children's tower at Deaconess Hospital in Bozeman, which is planned to open in the fall of 2020. Officials say the NICU will start with the ability to care for babies born as early as 32 weeks gestation and quickly transition to offer help to babies born a month earlier than that. Patients needing that kind of care now have to go to Kalispell, Missoula, Great Falls, or Billings. Officials with both providers say that agreement is not yet finalized, but that is expected before January, when Bozeman Health plans to start offering Helena patients telehealth consults on maternal fetal care. I'm Corin Cates Carney, Montana Public Radio News.
The U.S. Secretary of Interior has extended the tenure of the Trump administration's top steward of public lands, rebuffing Democrats' calls for his termination. Interior Secretary David Bernhardt yesterday extended William Perry Pendley's role as Bureau of Land Management Acting Director to January 3rd. Pendley has been in the post since July. Senate Democrats had called for Penley's termination over his longstanding support for selling public lands. For the first time ever, once toxic water from the Berkeley Pit, Butte's abandoned open pit copper mine, is being pumped, treated, and discharged into Silver Bow Creek. Montana Public Radio's Nora Sachs reports.
Last week, the companies in charge of the Berkeley Pit got the green light from the Environmental Protection Agency to release treated pit water into Silver Bow Creek. On Monday, Atlantic Richfield and Montana Resources achieved that long-awaited milestone and started sending 6 million gallons of treated water per day into the stream. Ron Halsey is an operations manager with AR.
The combination of Montana Resources pumping water from the pit and then us treating it and discharging it is the proof that we can actually hold the water level steady in the pit.
Under Superfund, the companies are required to keep the acidic and metal-laden water flooding the pit from reaching the so-called critical level, when its toxic contents would enter the alluvial aquifer. Uncontrolled, that's expected to happen in 2023. I'm Nora Sachs, Montana Public Radio.
The Blackfeet tribe and Montanans on the east of the Rocky Mountain front are just beginning to dig out of a record-breaking early season snowstorm. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports it will take a few days for the snow to melt and things to return to normal.
By Saturday morning, 20 inches of snow had already fallen on the Blackfeet Nation. Robert DeRozier with the Blackfeet Tribe's Disaster and Emergency Services says the tribe activated its emergency operations that morning and closed all roads except Highway 2 East. Reached by phone Monday, DeRozier says most calls for help didn't start to pour in until Sunday.
We responded to calls all day. Since Friday till this morning, we had 43 ambulance calls and multiple calls for service and rescue.
Governor Steve Bullock declared a winter storm emergency Sunday, which gives municipalities and counties the chance to get reimbursed for damages. The state says that's likely in a couple of locations. Jane Fogelman with the National Weather Service in Great Falls says 4 feet of snow was recorded in Browning as of Monday. That obliterates the city's 13-inch record for September snowfall from 1934 and also breaks the record for a two-day snow event.
The greatest two-day snowfall total was 36 inches on the 25th of September, 1908.
The Montana Department of Transportation closed a number of highways. According to the Montana Highway Patrol, 9 cars were reported to have crashed or slid off the road in Glacier County over the weekend. The National Weather Service was able to accurately forecast the storm well ahead of time, and the Blackfeet Tribe's Robert DeRozier says most heeded the warning. That allowed the tribe to close some roads early and get a Red Cross shelter set up before the weekend. DeRozier says the snow began melting Monday and the tribe is plowing roads.
And so we're just a bunch of busy little ants up here trying to dig out from this storm.
As of Monday afternoon, Highway 49 between St. Mary and East Glacier and Highway 213 from Cutbank to the Canadian border remained closed. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
An ethics watchdog group based in Washington, D.C. recently requested the Internal Revenue Service investigate a nonprofit organization near Bozeman. Rachel Kramer reports.
Campaign for Accountability brands itself as a nonprofit watchdog organization that uses research, litigation, and aggressive communications to expose misconduct and malfeasance in public life. Last week, it alleged that Citizens for Balanced Use, a group that advocates for motorized vehicle use on public land and more forest management, violated its tax-exempt status with substantial and unreported lobbying from 2015 to 2017. CFA's executive director, Daniel Stevens, says his team found a big discrepancy between what CBU was doing and what it reported to the IRS.
You know, this is a pretty simple one. Their tax forms just don't match up with what they, you know, claim they do in their lobbying activity.
He says some of those activities include encouraging members and the public to contact state and federal officials about policies and regulations, testifying before lawmakers at legislative sessions, and organizing luncheons for lawmakers. According to the IRS, attempting to influence legislation is considered lobbying. The IRS says organizations may engage in some lobbying, but too much lobbying activity risks loss of tax-exempt status. Stevens says an organization must complete a Schedule C form if it participates in political and lobbying activity, which he says CBU did not do. Carrie White, a representative in the Montana legislature and CBU's executive director, says his organization didn't violate federal tax laws, and this is all propaganda.
When we set up our 501c3, we are allowed to spend 20% of our gross income over the year in lobbying expense.
He says volunteers do the majority of CBU's lobbying, except when a lobbyist is hired for 4 months during the legislative session. Records from the Commissioner of Political Practices show White's organization paid $4,000 to lobbyist Bob Gilbert for the 2015 legislative session and several thousand to James E. Brown for the session in 2017. I asked if CBU sends out newsletters or releases social media posts encouraging people to contact legislators.
I don't know. You'd have to look at our publications, Rachel, and make your own judgment. We provide information to the public. That's all we do. Educational information.
He says it's up to them to decide what to do with it. The organization's website says it engages with state and federal legislators to support multiple use management on public land. Jason O'Neill is deputy director with the Western Values Project, a nonprofit watchdog organization in Montana. He says it doesn't matter whether people are volunteers or paid. He says CBU's actions are still considered lobbying by the IRS and in violation of its tax-exempt status. He says his group notified Campaign for Accountability about CBU.
With this complaint, we're hoping that the IRS and Montana Commission for Political Practices takes a look, good hard look at Citizens for Balanced Use.
Western Values Project and Campaign for Accountability do not know how long it will take to hear back from the IRS. With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Rachel Kramer.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.